To turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 7. We'll begin our reading at verse 28. The title of this evening's message is Never Man Spake Like This Man. Again, I refer you to John chapter 7. We'll begin our reading in verse 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, and I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. I'd like you to skip down to verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto him, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Let us pray. Our blessed Heavenly Father, Lord, how we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that there's never been a man who could speak like Christ. We thank Thee for His Word. Lord, we would ask Thee that Thou wilt again deal bountifully with Thy servants. Show us the truths of Jesus Christ that would thrill our hearts. Lord, we've sung, All that thrills my soul is Jesus. Lord, could it be that that would be the testimony of everyone here? For it's in Jesus Christ's great name we do pray. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, Moses told the people, The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me. Reading the text as it would go on shows a man who would have the ability to go before God on behalf of the people. And I believe that shows us the office of a priest. So here in one passage we have the office of the prophet and the priest. In John chapter 7, we read in verse 37, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Some of the people heard Christ speak these very things, and they came to the conclusion that the prophet that Moses was speaking about is Jesus Christ. When the chief priests and the Pharisees decided that they wanted to arrest Jesus Christ, they failed in their attempt. When they were asked why they didn't bring him back, he said unto them, Never man spake unto like this man. When you think of all the people that these officers would have met up with, they would have met up with false prophets. They would have met up with people of all kinds. They would have met up with people who could speak well. But when they came to this man, they came to the conclusion, Never man spake like this man. When a believer in Jesus Christ approaches this book that we have before us, they know there's something different about this book. They know that never man spake like this book speaks. You who believe in Jesus Christ and know Him, know that you're not surprised when you hear such a conclusion, never man spake like this man, because you know Him to be the God-man. Christ is the Jehovah God that David spake of when he spoke of in Psalm 23. The Lord, that is Jehovah, is my shepherd. We know Jesus Christ, according to Colossians 1:16, was the one who spoke the worlds into existence. We know that of a reading from Genesis chapter 1, that Jesus Christ spoke and billions of stars came into being. When Christ speaks, His words are not the words of man. When you read this book, that's not man, that's God. You have to get that straight when you first come to this book. That's how you approach this book, that's not man, that's God. It has been said recently that if current sales trends continue, Harry Potter, the books that he has written recently, or she has written recently, will supplant the King James Version of the Bible as the most popular book of global circulation. This is a sad indictment of men, of what they're willing to read and what they're not willing to read. Those of you who read sermon audio know that the Vatican gives two thumbs up to Harry Potter. It says the Vatican is giving two thumbs up to Harry Potter. The good versus evil plot lines of the best-selling books are imbued with Christian morals, the Reverend Don Peter Fleetwood told a Vatican news conference Monday. I don't see any problems in the Harry Potter series, Fleetwood said. He was responding to the question following the release of a new Vatican document on the New Age phenomenon, which he helped draft as a member of the Pontifical Council of Culture. Fleetwood was asked whether the magic embraced by Potter and his pals at the Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry was problematic for the Church of Rome. Some evangelicals have condemned the series for glamorizing magic and the occult. I don't think there's anyone in this room, he said, who grew up without fairies, magic, and angels in their imaginary world, said Fleetwood, who is British. They aren't bad. They aren't serving as a banner for anti-Christian ideology. If I have understood well the intentions of Harry Potter's author, they help children to see the difference between good and evil, said Fleetwood, and she is very clear on this. She goes on to make it known that this J.K. Rowling is a Christian of conviction and is a Christian in her mode of living and even in her way of writing. When something like this supplants the Bible, there's a problem with the morals of people these days. We come to people who do not believe on Christ, and they come up and they come to the conclusion after hearing the Word of God, never man spake like this man. Would to God that we would know that. Would to God that people would open up their Bibles and come to that same conclusion. Never man spake like this man. This evening, I want us to consider that the word of Christ is superior to the words of men. This same sentiment is found in Isaiah 55, verse 8. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This, I believe, in our text is true of all of Christ's offices of prophet, priest, and king. And that's what I would like to do this evening. Look at Christ's offices of prophet, priest, and king, and consider that never man spake like this man. This man, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's begin by considering that Christ is superior in his offices of prophet. A prophet is someone who speaks for God. Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. Here's what God says. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Again, I pointed out that when Christ comes to the great day of the feast, he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Then when we go down to verse 40, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Here is the one that Moses told us about. Christ is superior in his office as a prophet. First, this is true because Christ is superior in his authority. Christ is the greatest at speaking for God because he is God. His name is the Word of God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Another verse, verse 14, goes on to say, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Every prophet and scribe and teacher before Jesus Christ had to say, thus saith the Lord. Jesus Christ came along and said, here's what I'm telling you. You have heard of old that this has been said, but here's what I say. The officers that were sent to arrest Jesus Christ may have heard other people claiming to represent God and point people to God. Jesus Christ was pointing people to himself. Again, verse 37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Christ is the source of life. This is why we read in verse 40, Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Never man spake like this man. And Christ spoke with authority. Consider what he said in Matthew 12, 23, 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Who sent the scribes and the prophets and the wise men? Jesus Christ. That's authority. Remember, the time came when people came to Christ and said, who gave you this authority to teach like you teach? Christ said, I will also ask you a question. The authority of John the Baptist, he says, was it of God or man? They were afraid to answer and they didn't answer. And he says, neither do I tell thee by what authority I do these things. Imagine going up to the God of the universe and saying, God, I want to know by whose authority that you're saying this. He wouldn't answer you either. Because if you don't know that he's God, you don't know the authority. Never man spake like this man. Second under this point, never man preached like this man. One of the prophet's great tasks was to declare the word of God. Christ's words came with great power. When you heard Christ preaching, you would have heard the greatest preacher that ever walked the face of God's earth. Verse 37, it bears repeating, in the last day, here's Christ coming, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Christ was not yet glorified. Christ was in fact here preaching a sermon. He was expounding the scriptures. His topic was the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, namely himself. He pointed to his own precious blood that was taught in the Feast of Tabernacles. He pointed to the only life giver in the universe, himself. He was filled with the Holy Ghost as he taught of the blessed Holy Ghost. Never man preached like this man. The officers that came to arrest Christ would have heard a very powerful sermon by the greatest prophet of all time, Jehovah God himself, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He teaches you and me what it is to preach the Word of God. He expounds the Word of God. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He made much of the blood. He pointed to the only Savior of sinners, that is himself. You who want to preach the Word of God, you can do no better than to look at the greatest model ever, Jesus Christ. You who want to bring the Word of God to your children or to your neighbors, you can do no better than to look at this example right before you. Never man preached like this man. As I was thinking about the message this evening, sometimes I wonder why, after I'm finished preaching message, as though I feel so inadequate. Here's why. I think every time you bring a word to your neighbor, you walk away sometimes thinking, well, why didn't I say this? I think it's because we look at Jesus Christ and say, never man preached like this man. Never man brought the gospel like this man. Now we come to a verse and try to expound it. Are you ever going to be able to truly expound and plumb the depths of this great book? We have to realize that God is using us despite ourselves. We have to bring the truth to the best of our ability. But we have to know that when all is said and done, we're never going to walk away thinking that, boy, I really nailed that sermon. Or, boy, I really witnessed a great confession. That person should come to Christ. We did such a great job. We look at Christ's words and realize that if we could just plumb the depths of this one verse, people would hear. If God would give us that ability to be able to truly get to the great depths of this Word of God, the heart of the one who spoke it. Never man preached like this man. Third under this point, note the effects of Christ's preaching. It says in verse 40, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. Actually, they're agreeing there, aren't they? But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? And there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, again, never man spake like this man. See, the preaching of the Word of God had an effect on every heart. Whether they rejected him or whether they received him unto eternal life, it had an effect. Some believed on Christ's preaching while others rejected it. The point is that Christ's preaching had an effect on men's souls. Some rejected Christ based on their own preconceived ideas and of their own reason. Christ was born of the seed of David. They were wrong. Christ was not born in Galilee. If they would have checked their own history, they would have found that out. They wanted to reject them based on their own logic. The Russellites, who call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, reject God's deity based on their own intellect. They say, I can't understand that verse, therefore I don't accept it. Very dangerous ground. Christ said in John 8:24, remember that the word he is italicized, which means it's not in the original. I said therefore unto you, this is Christ speaking, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. You believe not that he's not God, you'll spend eternity in hell. Some believed the powerful preaching of Jesus Christ, while others did not. The point is, there's no in-between. The same is true today. Christ tells you that he is the prophet that Moses spake of. He tells you to come to him for everlasting life. He tells you that if you come to him, he will accept you and wash you from all your sins in his own precious blood. He makes promises. Do you believe him? Remember the great verse in John 11:25. Christ says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then he says, do you believe this? Believest thou this? In making comparisons, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament was Jonah. Through one message, through 8 words, 120,000 people were saved. 8 words. Who is a prophet like unto that prophet? But yet, think of what Christ said in Luke 11:32. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Talking about himself, never man spake like this man. The officers of the chief priests were right. Never man spake like this man. Next, I'd like to consider that Christ is superior in his office of a priest. The prophet, as we said, was God's representative to man. A priest is man's representative to God. The job of the priest was to make intercession for his people and bring them to God. Again, from the officer's perspective, they heard Christ's words and compared them to the words that they would have heard from the chief priests. And they were priests. We're comparing priests here. We're comparing Jesus Christ, the high priest. We're comparing the chief priests. They were saying, don't go near this man, Jesus Christ. Let's compare the words of our high priest, Jesus Christ, with the words of the chief priests and Pharisees. The chief priests, in effect, were saying through their teaching, look unto the rituals themselves. We were looking at the Feast of Tabernacles. They would have said, by this outward observance, that you would have been forgiven from your sins. You did this. You can check this off and you're done. Be as righteous as we are and you'll get right with God, was their message. Your good works will get you into heaven. They would have also said, you're deceived if you follow that man, Jesus Christ. If Jesus were the Christ, after all, wouldn't he have come through the religious leaders? Wouldn't he have come through these great people such as ourselves? Christ was saying, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. He was saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He was saying that you can only come to Jesus Christ to be saved. He would have said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and learn of me, he would have said. Compare the two. Can you see why we read in John 7:47 that there was a difference? They heard all the religious leaders of their day, and then they heard Christ. Then they came to the conclusion, never man spake like this man. Christ is superior in his office of a priest. Let us go on by comparing the prayers of the high priest Jesus Christ and the prayers of the Pharisees and chief priests. There are no examples in our immediate context of prayers being made by either. Yet when Christ went to the Feast of Tabernacles, he interacted with the people. He would have gone amongst the people. He would have been shoulder to shoulder with the people. He would have been preaching to them. You see, people are important to Christ. And he would have shown that in his ministry. One of the great tenets of his ministry is that anyone who ever desired to get anywhere near him always succeeded. Whether it was the woman with the issue of blood, whether it was blind Bartimaeus as he went walking past, whether it was Zacchaeus, there was never a man ever turned away. And yet when you see how lofty these Pharisees were away from the people, Christ said in Mark 12:38, "Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense or a show make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation." While the chief priests prayed to rob these widows of all their money, Jesus Christ was praying for the widows. While the chief priests loved the adulation of men, Jesus Christ was preaching of his own death and resurrection. While the chief priest desires to have the uppermost rooms and feasts, Christ came and preached directly to the people. That shows a lot about prayer. It shows a lot about love. His love for sinners was so evident that the officers could say, "Never man prayed like this man." Also, when you consider that the chief priests had great riches, much like the Vatican, and I speak firsthand, if any of you have ever been to the Vatican, you know that you'll never see a greater extravagant display of wealth in all your life but to walk into some of their museums. And yet, Jesus Christ hath not where to lay his head. And yet, Jesus Christ had everything that he ever prayed for. So much so that the disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray. We want to get through to God like you get through to God. Not like the Pharisees." Luke 18 said, "The Pharisee prayed thus with himself." And I think that's so descriptive. He wasn't praying to God. He was praying with himself. Jesus got through to God. The Pharisees prayed so that they could line their pockets with more money. And Jesus Christ prayed for sinners. Never man prayed like this man. "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." That's prayer. Praying according to God's prayers, Jesus Christ. Thirdly, I'd like to compare the teaching of the high priest Jesus Christ and the chief priests and Pharisees. Another one of the major functions of the priest was to teach the people. We read that in Malachi 2:4. God says, "And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." Here's what the chief priests were supposed to be doing. They were supposed to be teaching the people instead of lining their pockets. They were supposed to be turning people away from their iniquity. They were supposed to be pointing people to Jesus Christ. Compare this with what we read to John 7:14. "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught one-on-one, teaching the people. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knowest this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." While the chief priests were teaching doctrines from their own corrupt hearts, Christ was teaching the pure and perfect doctrine of God himself. You would have known a difference if you'd have heard the comparison of Jesus Christ preaching and these chief priests preaching. Doctrines that were God glorifying, Christ preached. Words that were true and righteous altogether. Psalm 12:6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times." These are the words that came forth out of Jesus Christ's mouth. The very least, even the vilest of men could tell a difference between Christ's teaching and that of these chief priests. Never man spake like this man. Mark 1:21, it says, "And they went into Capernaum, And straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. There was a clear difference between the God-man teaching and men teaching. See, Christ is the fulfillment of Isaiah 54:13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And the word there is Jehovah. That means they're going to be taught firsthand and personally by God himself. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that word. Surely this shows the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many such places show it. The New Testament shows us that Christ is the one who teaches his people. Jesus Christ taught like no other man because Jesus Christ spake like no other man. Christ is superior in his office as the prophet and the priest. Third, I'd like to consider that Christ is superior in the office of a king. A great king would demonstrate unparalleled wisdom, courage, and power. Let's consider Christ's unparalleled wisdom. One of the great kings of all time is King Solomon. As Christ tells us in Luke 11:31, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. His name is Jesus Christ. Christ is the greater than Solomon. All who know Jesus Christ bear the same testimony. Never man spake like this man. When the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon, she says, "The half hath not been told me." Everyone that I've ever met who was converted says that when they came to this book of the Bible, the half has not been told them. And every time they keep studying the Bible, they keep hearing more and more about Jesus Christ. They'll learn forever about him. In John 7:33, Christ preached the wisdom of the cross. It says, "Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come?" Again, he's preaching the wisdom of the cross. When we consider how that compares to 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Goes down in verse 24 to say, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." The wisest counsel that any person can never give another person is to go to Jesus Christ. That's wisdom. His name is wisdom. Jesus Christ tells us in verse 37, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Apply this to your everyday life. You need advice on doing something. Where do you go? There are people who go to religious leaders. There are people who will go to a psychologist. There are people who go to their hairdressers. I think the reason they go that is because you're waiting for a person that's you're supposed to get a tip from them. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. Same may be true with your barber. They don't want to offend you. They want a tip. They'll tell you what you want to hear. I think that's indicative of the way many people approach Bible study. Keep going around until you find someone who tell you what you want to hear. And don't go to Christ. Do you need any kind of counsel? Go to Christ. Go to his word. Remember it says in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." God himself is the counselor. You can go to him for anything and everything. You can go to your king as one of the subjects of the king and expect advice from God by going to his word. Now that's a great king. That's a wise king. Second, let's consider Christ's unparalleled courage. A king, if he is to give confidence to his subjects, must be resolute in his purpose. He must be someone who cannot cower to the threats of his enemies. Imagine if Christ came, and then from there all these people decided they wanted to kill him, and he says, "Well, I can't go yet." Yet we see Christ teaching among the people. Verse 1 of the chapter that we're in says, "After these things Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand." Skip down to verse 14. "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught." This is not someone who's intimidated. This is someone that knows his own power. This is someone that has great courage. Throughout the chapter, we read of Christ boldly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in verse 25, we read, "Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Doth the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?" Never man spake like this man. Christ said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." That's great courage. Third, let's consider Christ's unparalleled power. Verse 31 of our text says, "And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done?" And they're not saying that someone else did it. They're not saying that he was a conduit through which the miracle was done. They're saying that he did it. A miracle is defined by God coming in and breaking into time, as it were, and doing something that no man can do. Who are they saying that Jesus Christ is? Jesus Christ has unparalleled power. It says, "The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him." They wanted to arrest him. Arrest God himself. Verse 45 goes on to say, "Then came the officers of the chief priests and Pharisees and said unto them, why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man." See, the officers in verse 31 had been given authority to arrest Jesus Christ. In fact, they were commanded to carry out their duty. They were under this authority to go and arrest Jesus Christ, but they didn't carry out their duty. Why? The answer they gave, never man spake like this man. When someone disobeys a command, there's a reason for it. The reason is that Christ's authority was greater than the authority of these scribes. Look at what verse 30 says in the same chapter of our text. "Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come." This is to say that the only way that they could take God, the God of the universe, is for him to permit himself to be taken. Remember what John 18:3 says. "Judas then, having received a band of men and officers," there's officers again, "from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing that all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them," and I'll read the way it should say in the original, "I am." Next verse says, "And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground." Can you see the great power of Jesus Christ? He is displaying his power to let them know that the only way that he could ever be taken is if he voluntarily goes to the cross. May I also say that Christ has power over his creatures and his creation. The Pharisees should have realized this great power by the miracles he did. The centurion understood his power. Remember what he said in Matthew 8:5? "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home of the palsy, grievously tormented." Now keep in mind that this centurion has power over the chief priests and Pharisees. All he has to do is go to them and arrest them. Here is someone that has more power than these scribes and Pharisees. And yet he comes up to Christ and says, "And Jesus saith, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man set under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he shall do it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Jesus Christ didn't even have to see the person he was healing. That's authority. That's the authority that God has. And the centurion who had authority over these people who wanted to arrest Jesus Christ can't see it. The centurion said, "Speak the word only." That is to say, never man spake like this man. We also read in the same chapter, verse 23, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. He saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea." There's his word. "And there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" What manner of man is Christ? He's the God-man. He speaks, and it comes to pass. Never man spake like this man. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." When you think of the task of the officers, go and arrest God. That's all we want you to do. Go and arrest the one who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. The God who created you, the God who knows you're coming already. That's all we want you to do. When it came time for Christ to suffer, Christ said to Peter in Matthew 26:53, keep in mind as we read this that Jesus Christ is known in the Old Testament as the Lord of hosts. That can be translated the Lord of armies or the Lord of angels. Think of as we read this. He says, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Here's the Lord of hosts right here, standing before all these people, getting ready to take them. He goes on to say, "But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled, and thus it be?" If he would have done that, there would have not been one saved person in the universe. The angels would have had to destroy the world and the entire universe. Jesus Christ had to go to the cross. I'd also like to point out that Christ has authority over spiritual creation. Luke 4:33 says, "And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." It's interesting, the devils know who he is, and that the chief priests don't know him. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." Never man spake like this man. Christ said in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice." That's authority. Never man spake like this man. In a study such as this, we can never exhaust or plumb the depths of what we said. Never man spake like this. You could go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and go all the way through Revelation 22 and see never man spake like this man. Jesus Christ is superior in his office of a prophet, priest, and king. Whoever is outside of Christ, you would do well to believe this book. Never man spake like this man. Whenever you consider the words of man and the words of God, remember that. Never man spake like this man. Can you see why Psalm 1 verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night"? Because there's never such thing as a book that is likened unto this book. Harry Potter or no. Read the Bible. As the song said, "Take the world, but give me Jesus." Amen. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the words of these officers who said, "Never man spake like this man." Would to God, Lord, that they would have realized what they had said. Lord, we come unto Thee thanking Thee for the Word of God, how it stands out in our hearts. We thank Thee that there's no word like Thy Word. We thank Thee for the power of Thy Word. Lord, we would ask Thee that the power of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself would be on every heart this evening. Lord, that people would believe the gospel unto salvation. We pray for the ministry of the Holy Ghost in the week to come. Lord, we would ask Thee that we would lose our confidence in our own words and memorize the words of Scripture. Lord, we ask Thee that when the heathen would come unto us for a testimony, Lord, that the words in our hearts that we have stored up, Lord, would be the words that we would say. Lord, Thou hast said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We ask Thee, O Lord, to bless this Word unto our hearts. No, Lord, we would ask Thee that we would keep studying Thy Word. No, Lord, that this would be a profitable week for Thy servants. Lord, show us truth. Show us the pages of Holy Writ. Open Thou our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. Open our eyes that we would see Christ throughout our days. In Jesus Christ's great name we do pray. Amen.